Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, it's your favorite fetish doll, Emily Snow. Make sure to tune into my new show, Nocturnal Addictions, where we answer all your freaky questions.
Hello and welcome to Nocturnal Addictions, hosted by alt model Emily Snow. I'm your host, horror painter Sissy Pesticide. I'm running the board tonight. Emily, how are you?
Fantastic.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, yeah, that's sounding good. You're looking good, Emily. Looking good. How was your week?
Oh, man, that was a long week for sure. I think I'm finally getting over that nasty cold, though. That's always a good thing. It had me down for a few days.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Now, you had said last week you were going to be doing some film work this weekend with one of our old guests, Jeremy. How do you pronounce his last name again?
Summerall.
Summerall, that's right. And how did that go?
It was good. I've never seen anybody making a movie before, so it's definitely a new experience.
Was there a lot of kind of hurry up and wait type deal?
Yeah, there was a lot of hurry up, and then there was a lot of sit there for 3 hours and eat pretzels too. But, you know, I guess that's how you make a movie. Everybody has to, you know, take their turn and wait and do their little shot, and then they have to tell the cameras. And yeah, it took a long time to do the one scene that they were filming when I was there, but sure, it's going to be awesome. I got to see behind the camera, kind of see what it's going to look like. That was pretty cool.
Well, that's excellent. That's excellent. Very cool.
Yeah,
now, for those who aren't familiar, that's the X. What's the name of the movie again? It's the part three of the The Pickaxe Murders. I knew there was an axe in there somewhere. Now, did you get murdered?
No, I didn't get murdered. I played an 80s groupie. So.
Oh.
Yeah. It wasn't hard to get into character for that.
Well, you know. That's excellent. Awesome. So what else happened this weekend? How's the weather down there? Is it pretty cold there in Houston, or has it been okay?
It's been off and on, but I think that's why everybody's getting sick here, is because it's been cold, and then it's hot, and then it's cold, and then it's hot. The weather can't really make up its mind, so.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I hear ya.
It's one of those end-of-the-winter things where they can't decide if it's going to get warm or stay cold.
Exactly. We have a a frost advisory, a freeze advisory here in South Florida tonight. For those listening in the South Florida area, remember to be sure to bring in your plants and whatnot tonight that are susceptible to such stuff. So there you go. There you go. Okay, we're finally, at the beginning of these shows, it's interesting how so much behind-the-scenes stuff happens, and we're all set now. We're looking good. Everybody's good. The chat room's going good. Hello, chatters in there. Man, you got a few people in there. And Emily, you're looking good yourself in blue jeans and just kicking back and looking good. I like your hair this week. A little different.
Thanks. It's kind of washing out, so it looks a little different.
I gotcha. It's, when did the pink go?
Well, it's purple underneath, but it kind of washed into the blue. I don't know what I've got going on now.
I gotcha. That was so last Thursday, right?
You know the Monsters, the Monsters, Inc.?
Monsters. Oh, yeah. The Sully or Scully or whatever his name was. Sully?
Yeah. That's what I feel like.
Well, you, but you look like the other one. What's his name? Mike something? I'm kidding. I'm teasing. With the big eye. That's hilarious. You know, actually, me and my sister for my nephew's, I believe it was 5th birthday, dressed up like those two for, they had a big birthday party. And I played the guy with the big eye. I had a costume and everything. It was amazing. So tonight, what do we got going on tonight, girly girl? I know we always have the most interesting shows. What do you have planned for us?
Yes, yes, yes. Tonight, we are going to be talking about what attracts men to women, because I'm sure that's something everybody needs to know. And we also have a special guest calling in, this cool little burlesque chick. She has an event coming, let's see, on Saturday. She's doing something called Cyberlesque. It's like a burlesque show kind of mixed with DJs and vendors, and I don't know. I haven't been to anything like that, so it should be pretty cool.
Well, it sounds like a hell of a, we're talking about Miss Susie Monroe. It sounds like a hell of an event, the Cyberlesque, this is coming Saturday, I believe, right? In Houston there at Numbers?
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm excited.
Exactly. That's cool. That's awesome. Yeah, I was looking at her site today, and man, she's quite cool. I can't wait to talk to her. And, okay, yes, I can do that.
Yeah,
I don't
and
know
I
what.
Have,
Boom, there we go. Somebody in the chat room just asked me to ban somebody. I guess they were being a jerk. Keep it nice, people in the chat room there. Otherwise, you know, I'm a grumpy old man. I'll ban you from in there. The hammer will come down.
See, I'm pretty excited about that event on Saturday, and I know so many people that are going to it. I love going to events that really drag out all the Houston artists. It's a good chance to, like, network, and you get to meet people that you're kind of in the same field of work with but haven't got the chance to meet yet. So those events are always good for that. Plus, you can't say no to burlesque. I'm a big fan. The first burlesque show I ever went to was at the House of Blues, and, you know, I've never seen anything like that before. And these girls are covered in glitter, and they bend all crazy, and most of them have nice boobies. It's like artistic, creative theater, but with hot girls. I don't know. It's pretty cool. If you haven't seen anything like it, this is a good way to get into it, because it's not really your traditional burlesque show. I guess they're going to make it a little off the wall, you know?
The cool thing about burlesque is, you know, gals of all shapes and sizes and can do it and get into it, and it's always a good time. My gal Danny's into the burlesque. Matter of fact, she's in her craft room right now constructing a steampunk burlesque outfit as we speak. Big giant hoop skirt. And, well, I don't want to give it all away in case any of her people
cool.
are listening. Yeah, she's got, you know, the top hat with the goggles and the whole thing. And, you know, she, let me put it this way. She, as I said, the key word there in her, well, it's not a craft room, it's a cosplay room. So she has a whole entire room dedicated to that, you know, as opposed to our S&M bondage room. I'm kidding. We don't have one of those.
That'd be cool if you did.
That's, well, you know, I've had those rooms before. I never told you about my college apartment?
No,
I had
you
a trapeze
had a
over my bed. I did. I had an actual trapeze over the bed. It was a circus bondage theme.
I don't know about all that. You're pushing my limits here. I don't know if I could do the trapeze. I've seen those sex swings before, and those are cool. I've actually been in one. I've never had sex in one, but a friend of mine got one and had it in her bedroom, and we would all go and drink beer and sit in the sex swing, and that was pretty cool. But I've never had sex in a sex swing. I'd imagine it'd be pretty nice, though, especially if you were the one in the swing. You don't have to do anything. You kind of just float there.
I think the strangest place I saw in college, and I'm going to date myself a little bit, I went to college in Boston, and I remember I went home with this gal. She was pretty crazy. She had about, twice as many tattoos as you and probably, you know, a few more piercings, and, you know, seemed to wear black PVC at 10 o'clock in the morning, that type of gal. Anyway, I went to her house, and in her front room, she had it all done up. She had a giant mechanical claw that came out of the ceiling that was made of paper mache, and she had all those aliens from Toy Story, like in the big claw machine. It looked like you were inside a claw machine in her
thing room. Oh, that sounds cute.
Yeah, it was an interesting. She was an interesting gal, fascinating gal. She's a forensic scientist these days for the Massachusetts State Police Department. So you can just never tell.
Yeah, you know, most of the really crazy things that I got when I was working as a phone sex operator were teachers. They're always into the really weird shit.
That is crazy. That's crazy. You know, when it doesn't surprise me, I don't know. People are, it's a crazy world out there. It's a crazy world.
So
cool.
I was kind of torn on what I was going to do the show on this week. You know, it's not a pain. I don't want to say it's a pain, but it's definitely a challenge to try and come up with a question that's, A, going to be relatable to, a broad range of people, and, B, going to have something to do with sex or relationships. And, you know, I've done shows that were the questions were a little bit, you know, geared towards one type of person, so they didn't do that well when it came to, like, our listeners sending in answers and stuff like that. And I've learned that if I ask, you know, more of a vanilla kind of question, there are many, many more people willing to answer it. So they probably have more experience, you know. Yeah, I would like to get back into more of the freaky fetishy questions. However, I kind of need my listeners to inbox me, email me, message me on Facebook, something. Give me a hint. What kind of stuff do you guys want to hear? Because it's a shot in the dark, really, for me. I don't know if, you know, doing a show on water sports is going to be appealing to everyone, but if I have enough people that are interested in it, I don't mind shutting everybody else out for a night so that I can answer questions for those people. This week's question was really broad. It was a question of the week. What is the first physical feature you notice on a woman you are attracted to? And I decided on that because a lot of my friends, they have these crappy boyfriends who are out there cheating on them, talking to girls on the internet, you know, just being as sneaky as they possibly can without getting caught. And it breaks my heart. I feel like if that's where, you know, your mind is, you want to go creep around with chicks and do that stuff, then leave the girl alone and go do your thing. There's no reason to string along a female if you're not interested in being in a relationship. And so many of these girls tell me, they're like, I don't really want to break up with him because we've been together so long, nobody else is going to like me, and blah, 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 blah. Or girls that say, I need to go to the gym and lose weight first, or I need to learn to do my makeup better and learn to dress better. And they're all so concerned with, you know, being able to go and be seen as attractive to other men. So I asked the question, what is the first physical feature that you notice in a woman? And
let me interrupt for a second. I have to, because of what you just said, and if there's any young girls out there listening, this is Sissy Pesticide speaking, the old man who's been around. Let me tell you, the most attractive thing in a girl is confidence. If you're sitting there with some douchebag going, well, I don't want to break up with him because nobody else will like me, take a shot, put some lipstick on, and go the hell out. Dump the baggage, man. Are you kidding me? Okay, Emily, it's your show. Back to it. I just had to say my piece there.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be the topic of our show. I think we're going to try and give our guest a call here in a second so we can get our little interview for the weekend out of the way, but then we'll talk more about our question of the week. It'll give everybody enough time to stew on it and kind of think about what they find attractive in a woman.
Excellent. Excellent. I didn't mean to get on a rant there. I just, man, some of these gals are just, It's crazy, man. What are they doing? What are they doing? Why don't we, let's do that. While we're thinking about that, let's take our first break of the night. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll, Emily, I'm going to try to get our guests on. How about that while we're doing that?
Okie dokie.
Hi, folks. Are you looking for a custom gift for someone special in your life? Harperly Jewelry on Etsy offers custom hand-stamped jewelry created using pure aluminum, brass, copper, or new gold. Do you have a favorite inspiration or quote that you'd like to be represented? Well, no worries. Harperly Jewelry on Etsy can create a custom cuff or necklace that represents your interests or ideas with a beautiful piece of jewelry. You can find them at harperlyjewelry.etsy.com. Again, folks, that's harperlyjewelry.etsy.com. Remember, guys, to mention Pop Rocks Radio on your next order from harperlyjewelry.etsy.com. Thanks.
I'm Rob Neal from the United States Fire Administration. Do you know that more than 3,000 Americans died in home fires last year? In most cases, the home did not have a working smoke alarm. A sounding smoke alarm gives you the extra seconds you need to get out of your home alive. Install and maintain a smoke alarm on every level of your home. Replace the battery every year. It's a simple way to help keep you and your family better protected 24/7. This message is brought to you by the United States Fire Administration, your local fire department, and this radio station.
This is Nocturnal Addictions, hosted by alt model Emily Snow. And Emily, we have your special guest on the line tonight, Susie Monroe, burlesque star of Houston.
Woo!
Hello.
Hello, beautiful. I'm glad you could make it.
Well, so am I. Thank you for having me.
It's a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday here in Houston.
It certainly is. I'm really glad the weather's nice and cool, so everyone should be comfortable in the show.
Yeah, I know.
That's
it's coming up quick. You've been planning this event for a while, and I've seen it online for a while. It's cool that it's finally coming this weekend.
Yes, I've been thinking about this for years, actually.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about it, Susie?
Well, it's called Cyberlesque, and it is described as an electro-swinging soiree of beats, booze, and burlesque.
Ooh.
Wow.
Well, it's kind of a fusion of modern electronica with the old swing twist.
Oh, very cool.
A little bit of the old and a little bit of the new. I like how the electronic options that we have in modern music gives you a lot of range to be able to take very old recordings that, let's be honest, don't really sound that good because they're not high quality, at least compared to what we have now, and it breathes new life into it.
That's awesome.
Definitely.
That's
kind of like a
yeah.
whole new genre of burlesque, and I've never seen anybody do anything like this before, so, I mean, it's no surprise that it's drawing such a big crowd already. I can't wait to see how many people actually show up. The event's pretty popular on Facebook, so should be
well,
a
thank you,
nice... Janet.
Well,
now, that's
I'm
Numbers
sure
this Saturday?
Yes, it's at Numbers, 300 Westheimer. So I love that venue. It's been around since 1978. I think I went to my very first concert there. I've been going there for 100 years, just about. And I love everyone there. The staff is just amazing. It's an awesome stage setup in terms of a nightclub. You don't really get very much of a stage. So it really kind of limits
right.
what you're able to do with your performance, and having a venue like this really opens a pathway to really show what I know I can do with the performance. Because when I'm picturing things in my head, I've got this grand idea, and then I get to the venue, and it's kind of disappointing because I realize it's not going to be as impressive as I practiced it when I had my big open space.
Mm.
And
exactly.
We got a lot of wonderful entertainers that are going to be there as well. Kiki Maroons of Kiki Sorted Sideshow is going to be hosting the event. My
Very cool.
Dear friend, my dear friend Wax Dahlia. She's going to be doing a show as well. She's also a DJ.
Awesome.
And we also have Lola Cherry Cola and Jesse Twist, and they do an amazing acro yoga routine, and they'll be blending it with a little bit of burlesque edge as well.
That's very cool.
Ooh.
Now, I read on your Facebook page, which we just put a link up to in the show chat room, your VIPs are sold out, or do you still have some of those available?
We have some downgraded VIPs. They are not the LED light-ups, high boys, that were originally brought in. They had a limited amount of those, so unfortunately there was only so much I could offer with that. But Numbers actually has a few tables of their own as well, so I do have probably another two tables that I can rent out, and I'm doing the discounted ones for $50. And we have optional bottle service.
Very cool. Well, that's always a good... I always like the bottle service route, the VIP table route, because you're guaranteed a place to sit. You know what I mean? You need to
take a load
off.
Everyone in the VIP area... I'm sorry. Pardon me. When everyone in the VIP section is... Oh, I'm fine. I just had a little fog in my throat for a moment. Anyway, and everyone in the VIP seating area is going to be sectioned off from the main crowd and will be around the base of the stage, so they'll be able to get a lot more of an interactive feel to the show.
Oh, that's cool. You're doing the VIP tables around the stage?
Oh, yes. I've never really understood the concept of paying a lot of money for VIP tables when you're sitting off to the sidelines somewhere. I mean, you go to see the show, you want to be around the stage.
That's a very good point. She gets it, ladies and gentlemen. She gets it. Oh, man, I've been to a lot of VIP events, and yeah, you're right. And I've wondered that myself. I'm like, we paid $600 for this? What the hell, man? I can't see anything.
Exactly.
When I hosted the erotic ball, the VIP tables were, like, left and right of the stage. So, I mean, you got the side view, but as far as the front view, you couldn't really see anything. So if you wanted to see anything, you had to kind of go creep on the side of the stage, and it was a big pain in the ass. And I know that people paid a lot of money for those, but it's just the way that nightclubs are set up in Houston. It's hard to give you that seating right in front of the stage. But like she was saying, that's why Numbers is cool, because it's a nightclub with a big-ass stage. Most places here have a lot of really tiny stages to kind of shove the DJ or, you know, whoever, go-go dancers. They have these little, I don't know, almost like blocks that they set people up on, and they don't really give you a lot of room. So
it's
a stage that you can kind of put little tables around, give them the VIP service.
And see, the high boys that we sold out of, all the high boys are elevated, so you can be up on the stage level. So you'll be able to get a much better view. And even though the lesser cost ones aren't going to be the light up options, I'm going to arrange them so that I'll push them more forward so that won't have their view obstructed by the people in the high boys, because the high boys can see over them anyway.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
It's a splendid idea.
Pardon me?
So how did you get into this whole burlesque thing? I mean, did you see one of those old movies with those gorgeous girls with the big fans and the glitter and just say, gosh, I want to do that? Or, I mean, what really got you into it?
Well, from the time I was a little girl, I think it was when I saw my first Madonna video, I just kind of fell in love with performing. And ever since then, I've had this vision of being on a stage and having people scream my name. And I actually got to experience the rush of that doing the Gothic Beauty Pageant at Numbers one year. And it was the biggest thrill you can ever imagine. It's such an amazing adrenaline rush.
Yeah, you know, I've never done anything like burlesque-wise. I've done a few fashion shows, and that was pretty cool. But, you know, I see a lot of girls who go the burlesque route, and I really admire that because I am so uncoordinated, and they just make it look so easy, and they do it so gracefully. And I've never seen a burlesque girl fuck up her act like they. And even if they do, they somehow work it so that you can't tell. And I don't know. It's admirable because I couldn't do that. I'm so clumsy. I would walk up there and fall 3 minutes into it.
Oh dear, I've had a spill or two here and there and wardrobe malfunctions. You know, that's something about performing that you can always guarantee. It's something unexpected is going to happen. And the only way to handle it is to just keep going. Because 9 times out of 10, you're the only one who really notices your mistake most of the time, unless it's something heinous like, you know, face planting on the stage or falling over a staircase or what have you. Most people don't even notice. And if it is noticeable, again, just keep going. The absolute worst thing you could do is throw a hissy fit about it. Just smile that big, pretty smile and keep on going. Or make a joke out of it. I saw this one performance of Dita Von Teese's where she was trying to take off her pink sparkly top hat. And apparently it was not agreeing with her hair. It kept sticking. And then she passed it off to the stage foot and she shook the finger at it. So, you know, you just work it out. And honestly, between you and me and the listeners, I am pretty clumsy myself when I'm just on my day-to-day normal operation mode. And I don't really know how I managed to get up on a stage and turn the switch and suddenly I've become this swan. I get out of there and I keep wondering to myself, how did I do that?
That's excellent.
So out of all the burlesques and the things that you've done, what's your favorite? I mean, do you have a kind of a favorite routine or something that you bring out with you, or what's your little special trick? Because I know every girl has one.
Well, you know, in all honesty, I really don't have a particular favorite. I do tend to incorporate fans quite a bit. And whenever I branch off into other things, people ask me, oh, but you didn't do your fans. And it's, you know, it gets to be a little concerning that it gets used so often because it's a very popular item to use. But you have to look at it the same way musicians do music. It's like a 6-string guitar.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a base item you need to have. And every performance that I've incorporated into an act, I fall in love with each one as I'm coming up with the inspiration for it. When I select music, I don't usually have an immediate idea of what song I'm going to do. I start going through music until something just jumps out and moves me to the point I start welling up inside, thinking about performing to it, and that's how I know I have to do that song. If I don't feel that way, then it's not the right song, and I won't be able to emote what I'm really trying to convey to the audience. And if I'm not feeling it, the audience won't feel it either.
That's a good point.
Definitely.
Wow.
Definitely. Say again, Emily, we lost you there.
Yeah, I got some feedback for a second in my headphones, sorry.
Oh, okay. No, you're fine. You're sounding good. Both girls.
Yay! I'm super stoked to go to this show. I hope everybody else is going to be able to make it out. It's going to be one hell of a show. And like she said, we have DJs coming. We have I don't know if you guys are familiar, any of my listeners are familiar with that Kiki Maroon girl. She's super awesome. I've seen her perform a few times, so that's going to be cool. And she's going to be the host, right?
Oh, yeah, she's going to host it. She's going to announce the DJs and the acts, and she'll do the prize giveaways that we're doing. In between each performance, we have prizes that we're drawing. That's why even if you pay at the door, you still get a ticket stub. All the ticket stubs are numbered. They go into a pool. And between each act, there will be drawing. And they consist of memorabilia from each of the artists, music from the DJs, pictures from the performers. And each one of our vendors, of which we have four now, is going to be contributing a special piece to go with it to make each one unique. And my photographer, Heather Robinson at Don't Have Photography, is also going to give away a one-shot portrait package. You'll get one print and a digital copy.
Oh,
very
cool.
Oh, that's
yes,
awesome. No, it's 18 and up?
Yes, it's strictly 18 and up. There are girls taking their clothes off. If you can't legally buy a Playboy magazine, then you can't come inside. I have to apologize to all the younger people.
Well, it's just
part of it.
You know what I mean?
I think it's cool that you're doing 18 and up because there have been a lot of events that I've been a part of, and I have a lot of younger friends, and you know, that are 20, and they couldn't go because it was 21 and up. So that's cool that people can come and hang out and only be 20. That'll definitely draw a lot of extra people in there that get to miss things like that. Because I think, what is it, isn't House of Blues 21 and up? I know a lot of the burlesque stuff they do there.
It's pretty well, maybe, in all honesty, I haven't really frequented House of Blues very much. I think I went there to see the cult, and other than that, I don't believe I've been there very often, because I don't really go into the theater district area quite as often as I should, probably, and I always get turned around in downtown Houston, quite honestly. All those one-way streets get nerve-wracking.
Well, everyone knows in... Oh, go ahead, Emily.
I used to be so turned around in Houston until I started frequenting bars. And once you can start using bars as landmarks, you can find your way around pretty good.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
I think that's part of the reason Numbers has been around since 1978, because the location is just so prime. You can't not find that place. You don't know where Numbers is. I mean, you get pretty lost. West Tremor is a straight shot. You just get on North Tremor and keep on going as the numbers go down.
Right. And it's a Houston institution too, you know. I mean, it's been around forever, and everybody's been on that stage. That's just the spot to be.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's an honor to be able to perform a show in front of an audience that Billy Idol has performed for, and so many countless others. I mean, Nine Inch Nails, Skinny Puppy. I mean, you name it.
My phone
negative.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's excellent. I everybody
same
can
thing
come
about
out.
That.
I'll say again, Emily?
I always say the same thing about that number stage. Whenever I have anything that involves me being able to be on that stage, I'm all for it, because they have had Skinny Puppy and Nine Inch Nails and Typo Negative and stuff like that. So that stage is full of history. And if you've ever worn a pair of heels on that stage, you will feel the history.
Oh, yes, you certainly will. It can be a little treacherous at times, but I guarantee one thing. Everyone that attends a show will not recognize the place when they walk inside of it. The stage is going to look like nothing you've seen before.
Oh, that's exciting. What did I do? Oh, it was that vampire ball that I did there. I was walking backstage, and I wasn't even on the stage. I was just in that little back area behind the curtain where you walk to go to the dressing rooms and stuff. I went into a hole and proceeded to bust my ass and break my shoe. And I wasn't even drunk. And it was really sad because I was completely sober.
I know it well.
So,
I'm highly considering procuring some rope light just for that reason.
Yeah, that back area can be scary.
Well, that's cool. Well, it's going to be a hell of an event, and I hope everyone can go. You know, if you're within, I would say, 4 or 5 hours, it's definitely worth the drive. What's general admission prices going to be, Susie?
Right now, if you get your tickets at Erotic Cabaret before they close Friday night, they're $10. At the door, they will be $15.
Oh, there you go, folks. Get down to Erotic Cabaret and pick up your tickets there. Save yourself a couple
and
dollars.
While you're there, you can pick up an outfit, too. Erotic Cabaret has so much shit there. It is where I go for events. Whenever I have an event and I need an outfit, that's where I go. So if you're looking for something to wear, why not go pick up your ticket, get an outfit, get some new shoes?
Exactly.
No, Emily,
exactly.
Your infamous, famous assless skirt was procured there, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's where I got my assless skirt. I need to find somewhere to wear that damn thing again. I wore it to the erotic ball, and it's just been sitting there ever since.
Well, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be appropriate to wear it to the event.
There you go.
I don't know. It's kind of assless.
Well, you know. Well, that's great. I think it's going to be a hell of a good show. I want everybody to go. Everybody like Susie Monroe's Facebook page. We put her link there in the chat room. And we also have a link to the event with her Facebook event page. And break a leg, Susie. I think it's great that you're doing this. And thank you so much for taking time out of your evening to be on our show. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, anytime, anytime. We'll have you back soon so we can hear about your next adventure. But let's get this one out of the way first. And like I said, break a leg. And Emily will be there live in the flesh reporting on it. And we'll have all the sore details next week, I'm sure.
Of course.
Wonderful, wonderful. I can't wait to see you guys.
Excellent.
Okay, beautiful.
Have a great
Saturday.
Thanks so much.
We'll be right back, folks. We're going to take a quick break, and that was Susie Monroe, and I want everybody to go out definitely to the to her event, the Cyber Burlesque, this Saturday night, the 25th, at Numbers in Houston. We'll be right back after these messages.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierux.us.
I'm Rob Neal from the United States Fire Administration. Do you know that more than 3,000 Americans died in home fires last year? In most cases, the home did not have a working smoke alarm. A sounding smoke alarm gives you the extra seconds you need to get out of your home alive. Install and maintain a smoke alarm on every level of your home. Replace the battery every year. It's a simple way to help keep you and your family better protected 24/7. This message is brought to you by the United States Fire Administration, your local fire department, and this radio station.
Hey, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nocturnal Addictions, hosted by alt model Emily Snow. Emily, how are you? What a cool gal Susie Monroe is, huh? How about that?
I actually saw her at a Mexican restaurant. I was eating at like 3 o'clock in the morning. She walked in with her curly blonde hair, and her she had like a long little poofy trench coat. I was like, I know her.
I bet she had her entourage with her. She seems the type that would just be surrounded with fabulous people doing fabulous things at all times.
Of course.
Or was she on a mission?
No, she was on a mission to get some chips and queso, just like me.
Why else would you be at a restaurant at 3 in the morning, right?
Right. Well, I guess all the bars and clubs get out and people who have a little too much rum in their belly and want to soak it up with some salty chips.
That's right. That's right. Yep. There's nothing better. I went through several phases in my clubbing past of after bar food. We should do a show on that one night. In Detroit, the staple, of course, are Coney dogs and chili cheese fries in the morning. When I was in school in Boston and New York, it was bagels and bagel sandwiches. In Southern California, Mexican food, you're right. And here, I don't know what it is here, because I'm usually passed out by the time I get the hell out of the bar. How about in Houston, Mexican food, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they have so many places that are open super late. You can pretty much get whatever you want, but I guess Ruchi's is the Mexican restaurant, and they have like, I don't know, 5 or 6 of them throughout Houston, and they're open 24 hours and have $1.50 breakfast tacos. So can't really say no.
There you go. There you go. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, it does help with the hangover. I don't care what you say, it definitely helps with the hangover. Nothing like, when you're having your after the bar meal, get a big glass of water. It helps with the hangover immensely as well. So, Emily, what was the question of the week again? We're talking about women. What do people find attractive in women?
Yeah, it's what's the first physical feature that you notice about a woman that you're attracted to?
Oh, I see. I failed that. When you posted that, I put sense of humor. That's not a physical feature. Well, on Emily, it would be her nice milky white skin that's untarnished and virginal. Oh, wait. No, that's somebody else. I'm kidding.
Let's see. So what I was trying to get at with asking this question is that the things that you like about women are actually more instinctual than you think. I'm going to read a few of them. Got face, legs, ass, eyes. You know, like I was saying earlier, girls who are worried about, you know, going to the gym and trying to look better for their boyfriend that doesn't really pay much attention to them. Forget all that. From what I've read, most people notice eyes, nose, and lips. It's completely a face thing. And that was like what our most popular answer was eyes, nose, and lips. What people notice, smiles, stuff like that, hair. And, I mean, of course we got a few of the ass and boobs, but, you know, mostly it was all about the face. It was a woman's face, which is strange. And somebody, they wrote the sweetest thing I've ever heard. They said, a woman's eyes, because over the years her looks will fade and, you know, the rest of her face and body will change, but her eyes will stay the same. Isn't that
sweet? Well, there you go. Oh, my God. Really? Somebody, that was such a setup. They're trying to get a date with you. That's all they're trying to do. I don't know. I'm a leg and ass man myself. That's what I notice. But at least I'm honest about it. Bipolar Care Bear in the chat room is a boob man, a totally a boob man himself. So there you go. How about you, Emily? What do you find attractive in a woman when you first see a woman that you think's hot?
I'm a snob. The first thing I look at is her profile.
Really?
Yeah, like I want her to look good in profile. And then boobs.
I gotcha. See, I don't look at the face at first. I guess because I look at faces all day, man. That's all I do all day is look at faces, you know? I'm up to my arms and faces. Zombie and undead faces, but still, faces nonetheless.
Well, according to the interweb, what I've learned, and I guess this is going to go for men and women, so if women are listening, hurrah. If men are listening, you're going to have to bear with the man part. Most people can tell if they're attracted to someone in the first 90 seconds they meet. That's pretty crazy. Because women, okay, this is the part about men. Women tend to be physically or sexually attracted to men who have more masculine features, such as a square jaw, a big nose, and small eyes. These physical traits often they mean you have slightly higher levels of testosterone, giving you the alpha male sort of persona. And women are instinctively attracted to Men are instinctively attracted to large breasts and long hair. That's pretty crazy. It says they're attracted to curvy women, women who have wide hips, skinny waists, because those are the ones that tend to be more fertile. If you notice a woman that has fuller lips, that's also a sign of fertility. Someone who has bigger eyes is a sign of being able to nurture. If you meet a woman with big eyes, I suppose she's more nurturing. So instinctively, you want to reproduce with her because she's going to be able to nurture your kids or young or whatever it is you want to call the little critters.
Yeah, like all those anime girls. You know, Sailor Moon. Yeah. She seems nurturing to me. I'm kidding.
La 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 la. I know. I have this too. I'm blind as a bat. I need to put my glasses on.
I think that's what it is. I like your new glasses, by the way. Hey, I wanted to say, in your article you read, it didn't, women being attracted to men, there was no mention whatsoever of sports cars or big wallets.
You know, and the thing with that is, if a guy has a big wallet, you know he's going to be able to support your children financially. So that can be attractive to women for that reason. But, you know, what I think, leading off topic here, we're supposed to be talking about women, but when it comes to men, I'd much rather be with an intelligent man than one of those guys with a sports car and a bunch of money. I want somebody that I can actually have a conversation with. I know a few younger girls who are dating these old rich guys because they pay their rent or whatnot, but they have nothing in common with them, and it's super awkward to see them together. It's like some 55-year-old Indian dude with my 20-year-old friend, and they're like in her new apartment together. And it's so awkward looking, and it's just not right. I mean, I guess whatever floats your boat, if you have that mutual agreement, then more power to you. But for me, I don't see how I could function like that.
I gotcha. Plus, you don't want a guy with a sports car. You want a guy with a TARDIS, right?
Exactly. Fuck a sports car. TARDIS would be nice. I like dorky guys. I like guys who watch Doctor Who. Have both
wow,
times.
And Sex in the City with you. It's amazing.
Sex in the City is me.
Oh, what a terrible show. What a terrible show.
You know,
I'm kidding.
People think that men are attracted to this certain sort of something, but really what men are attracted to is completely instinctual. It has nothing to do with your looks or nothing to do with really the way you put yourself together. It's all what's going to be best for them to breed with. And as sad as that sounds, it's the truth. When people meet each other, there's, you know, definitely some pheromone shit going on there. It's not all about just getting along with someone or liking the way that they look. It's very instinctual. It's almost like animals, how animals pick a partner to mate with. And though you might not want to have kids with the guy that you're dating, that still doesn't stop the human body from doing what it's instinctually supposed to do. So why you might think that you didn't pick somebody because of that, in all reality, you just don't realize you're doing it. You're subconsciously doing it, which is why they say, you know, guys like women who have the bigger eyes, the fuller lips, the softer face, because that's seen as more nurturing, and guys like the smaller waist, big hips, because that's better for childbearing. Big breasts are considered good for, you know, you feed your kid with them when you have a baby. So guys don't realize the reason that they like big boobies is because that's what's supposed to feed their offspring eventually.
Well, there you go. How about that?
We're nothing more than a bunch of big, hairless animals. Well, at least I'm hairless. I don't know about the rest of you.
Here come the tweets. Here come the emails. I can see it now.
Hairless, say what? Now, I have a few girlfriends that only shave their calves for some reason. Like, they don't shave their thighs or, like, their knees even. And that's so awkward and strange to me. I don't know how you could do that.
They look like they're wearing shorts when they take their pants off?
Yeah, I wouldn't want, like, a layer of fur on that area. I don't know. I mean, you could get away with not shaving your calves and just wearing knee socks, but you can't really cover up your thighs when it's time.
Oh, that's true. Have you asked any of them about that? Or is that a non-topic?
The women that don't shave, they will tell you, a guy, if he wants to fuck, he's going to fuck. It doesn't matter if you shaved or not. It's irrelevant. Maybe I just think too much into it.
No, could be, could be. I used to have a friend of mine, he will remain nameless, and that was his thing, though, man. He, I dare say it was a fetish. I think fetish is probably too strong of a word, but that definitely got his motor churning. He liked a gal with hair on her leg. That, I don't ask me where that was about. That was just his thing. And
And for those of you who don't know how phone sex works, I'm about to break it down for you. So prepare to cry yourself to sleep tonight. The way that phone sex works is one lady or girl, you know, a singular individual, usually with tits, sometimes they're guys and you just don't know. They play about 20 different models on a website. Me, I played 18 plus myself. So I had my own photos on there that I received calls for, but also I had 18 models that received calls that just went to me. And that's how phone sex companies work. They buy content of, you know, porn stars, hot naked chicks. they put that on the website. So you see Pretty Little Penny that you're calling is probably, you know, my aunt or something, realistically. And being in the phone sex business, working for those companies and stuff like that, I was always the youngest person there. Everybody else was, you know, my mom's age doing it. They just have little girl voices, which I found to be kind of strange. Either way, one of my characters was an 18-year-old. It was, who is it? Little Caprice. If anybody's into porn or knows, you know, anything about porn stars, my character Marky was 18 and she was Little Caprice. And this guy used to call her, and he was the creepiest old guy ever, but he was always good for an hour-long call, which is a good chunk of money, so it was always nice when that guy called. But I remember him because he would always want to talk about her bush. And, you know, she's, what, 18 or 19, and all the photos that they were using on the website of her, and she's supposed to be one of those cute little teens, so in all of her pictures, there's not a hair on this girl's body. But this guy liked to fantasize that no matter who he was calling, that she had a massive bush, and he would always sit there and say, tell me about your tiny little bird's nest. And that's what he would call it, was a tiny little bird's nest. And he wanted these girls to be as hairy as humanly possible down there because he liked to nestle his nose in it like a mother bird feeding baby birds.
Wow, he regurgitated into the vagina? That's amazing.
Well, no, he wanted to, like, nuzzle it. I don't know, like, stick his nose in it. Like, he was a mother bird looking around a nest for some eggs or something. I don't know. This guy was a strange one, and he was so old.
Note
he
to self,
like
never call it a bird's nest. Wow.
He sounded like that old guy from Family Guy. You know what I'm talking about?
The molester? Yeah. That's amazing.
He sounded like that. So it was really, really weird every time he called, but he had a thing for really hairy girls, and he would just imagine the hair on them, because none of the chicks on the website had a bush or whatever, because they were all, you know, teenage models. They're supposed to be young and hairless,
right.
I suppose, but either
they've
way,
all went in
like
for a day of waxing before the picture was taken. And not only that, they were photoshopped and everything else, you know. But you're selling a fantasy. I mean, you know, and that's really, I mean, I know that you were saying, you know, the people, you know, a lot of these guys were calling, I imagine. I never got into phone sex because I'm too cheap. But, you know, you're selling a fantasy, you know. I think most guys know that. Do you think, or you think most guys actually think that, you know.
Oh no, most of them think that that's you. I've only ever had a few that, you know,
really?
Caught me, and they were like, hey, you're using such and such porn star's photos, and I'm like, oh, shit. But the rule with phone sex is you're never supposed to admit it, so.
Oh, okay.
And it was weird. The funniest part of all of it was that whenever you'd get a call, when you first started working there, they didn't have a little recording, so when you get a call, you didn't know who they were calling. After I worked there a couple months, they had a little recording where they'd say, this is a call for Leslie or Marky, so you knew how to answer the phone. But in the beginning, I didn't know how to answer the phone, and I'm playing these 18 different girls that all have different voices and all sound different, and so you'd have to kind of answer the phone and be like, who are you looking for? To kind of get a feel of who they were trying to talk to.
That's awesome.
I've had guys that would call back to back and do 10 minutes with one of my girls and then call right back and do 10 minutes with a different girl. So I had to change my voice.
And he didn't realize that was you.
No. No, and he would do the same role play. So it was weird to have to kind of change up my reaction to everything that he was doing. So he would call and say, I want to pretend to be, you know, your horny neighbor who is looking through your window.
Wow. I don't know what happened, folks. Test. It looks like we lost Emily there. Well, it's that time anyway. We'll try to get her right back. Let's, what are we going to do? I think actually what we're going to do is, we'll go ahead and close the show out. We lost you.
Well, I'm here now.
Oh, she's back. And she's back.
I'm back.
Well, there you go. Well, it's the end of the night anyway. I didn't know what if we should just close the show or play a track or what. But I guess it's about that time.
It is about that time. You know, instead of going out and doing my usual drinking thing, I'm going to go to the gym tonight.
Oh, really? Yeah, you've been hitting the gym quite a bit lately.
Yes, I'm trying to get fit for 2014 so I can whoop somebody's ass.
I gotcha. Are you, you should be glad you're not in the 80s like in the movie you were doing, where you'd have to wear the 80s workout gear, because that was pretty involved. You know, that was step away from Victorian ladies in corsets and stuff.
Yeah, before we go, I've been going to the gym at like 2 a.m. every night, and there's nobody there. There's like one old guy on the treadmill, and I go with a friend of mine, and we exercise, and there's nobody there, so it's cool. And I can wear like booty shorts and a tank top, and it's fine. Well, I decided to go early last night at like 11, and I went in these super short little Batman shorts because I didn't think anybody was going to be there. That gym was so full that I had guys sitting on the little mat where you're supposed to stretch out behind the elliptical, and they're just sitting there staring at my ass while I'm running on this elliptical, and it was so uncomfortable, and they were all sitting there, and I could see them in the mirror staring at me sitting there. But for some reason, they all thought it would be fine to just sit on the mat and watch my butt jiggle while I did the elliptical. So tonight, when I go to the gym, I will be wearing pants.
Well, there you go. Well, have a great night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I want everybody to be safe. Have a super week. And folks, we'll see you next Wednesday. Good night, Emily.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody. This is the ending shout-outs. Be sure to check out our sponsors, HarperLeeJewelry.etsy.com and Jamie Rocks, www.jamierox.us. Have a great night, everybody. See you next week. Bye.